together.
To the people in this room and to the people all over Florida, thank you tonight for this great victory.
Clearly, it was all about Mitt Romney as he wins the primary and he wins big. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, coast to coast, nooks and crannies and all that good stuff that we've talked about all along the way here on America Tonight. If you tuned in for the first time, here's how we roll. I don't care what your stripes are, left of left, right of right, confused, angry, somewhere in between. You have a say on this show, so step up, choose a lane, and feel free to jingle this number, 800-259-5791. What does it mean? Should the others throw in the towel? I don't think so. There's a whole lot of primary left, and despite the fact that this was an overwhelming victory for Romney in a winner-take-all deal, and when I say overwhelming because of the numbers, he gets 46%, Newt 32, Rick 13, Rick Santorum and Ron Paul 7 in looking at the delegates. So a landslide, I guess, but a lot of territory still left to be covered. Everybody already thinking about the next one. The next one is a caucus. That one's in Nevada. After that, you go to Maine. After that, you've got Colorado, Minnesota, and back to another primary because the others are all caucuses, and that's Missouri. And ultimately, you wind up March 6th with a Super Tuesday where you got a whole bunch of states that couldn't be more diverse, from Alaska to Tennessee to Vermont, Virginia, Massachusetts, Idaho, North Dakota, and some others mixed in between. So clearly the results that came down were the ones that I think most people thought were going to happen. It looked like at some point that Newt Gingrich in the polls was gaining some ground a couple of weeks ago heading into Florida on the heels of South Carolina, but this was a pretty decisive win as far as these things go, especially with a conservative group of people who are voting here in these primaries in the Sunshine State. And this is 10 days after Newt Gingrich handed Romney a thumping in that South Carolina primary that looked like it was going to derail the Romney campaign, remember, at one point. But Romney just gave it back to him. So this is the biggest prize probably so far in the nomination process. But I'll say it again, it's really clearly not over because there's a lot of ground still left and we could see maybe some things that switch. You know, it's very strange. I keep saying this over and over again. I went back and listened to another show and heard what some of you had to say. When we talk about the Republican Party and you talk, if you want to talk about different tentacles of one beast, I'll say, whether it's Tea Party, just call me conservative, or call me evangelical. What about this establishment thing? Republican establishment. They certainly got their wish, and it looks like the guy who's going to be standing in the end, it looks that way, even though there's still ground to be covered, is somebody who is pretty tough to slap that label on. Is he moderate? Is he liberal? Is he liberal-moderate? Somebody said that to me today. Somebody in Massachusetts said, you know, this guy is a closet liberal. And I'm like, a closet liberal? I don't know if I'd go that far. Moderate? Yes. If you look at some of the things in the past, in Mitt Romney's past, I would say you could say that he is moderate. But shedding those labels for these candidates, it boils down to this, my friends. What are you looking for in the next year? What are you hoping happens in 2013? It's the unemployment that is killing us. It's the people who still can barely pay their mortgages. They're underwater. They're being foreclosed on. That hasn't disappeared overnight. There's a myth, I think it's a myth, that things are getting better. But I don't really see that when I look around in a lot of these neighborhoods. And I think unemployment is actually much higher than the 8.5 that's being touted. I think it's closer to 10% across the country. And here's another thing we talk about quite often on America Tonight. Some of you right now might be working, and that's why you're listening to me. You might be working at a second job because the first one's just not cutting it. You have a family. You have to pay down debt. You're trying to stay afloat, so you can't go paycheck to paycheck. You need a little bit more. Hey, speaking of that, coming up, this is a jam-packed hour. You're going to love it. If you just tuned in and you have never heard my voice before, you picked a good night and a good hour to tune in to ATM. When you have to reach for more money, when you're on a fixed income, you're retired, what happens when some new rules go into effect that have to do with energy? They come down from the Department of Energy. Remember this one? This rule that's going to kick in, and some people aren't aware of this. It's called, it's the Appliance Standards Awareness Project. ASAP. What does that stand for, right? It's a regional standard which says that a typical air conditioner, because you're talking about air conditioning, you're talking about heating and refrigeration distributors. What they're saying is this new DOE rule means that people are going to have to replace air conditioners in their homes. They're going to have to get up to code, new furnaces, all that kind of thing. Well, who has the money for that? And besides which, once this kicks in 2013, and then you've got these different minimum efficiency standards for these appliances, blah, 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 and when you have climates that are so different from Miami to Minneapolis and so on and so forth, right? There is no one-size-fits-all standard, and the regional standards might be a breakthrough in one sense, but they're not for consumers, not really, and certainly not for people who work in the business. They say about 1,700 jobs will go. There's going to be 7 million at least in lost pay, and people who are older are going to really be affected because how are they going to be able to recover the money that they'll have to put out for picking up a more expensive, energy-efficient appliance? You know, you see them when you go to Home Depot and stuff, and you think, oh, and you start to price things, and yeah, of course it'd be great if you could save more money. If it was energy-efficient, great. But where are you getting that money? So now there's a big challenge. Cause of Action is challenging this. They are a group that's looking for some judicial intervention on the grounds that the Department of Energy did not follow proper procedures when they adopted this direct final rule that mandates regional standards. So you got to pay attention. We're going to talk to Dan Epstein, who runs that group, and find out what's happening and how this slipped by all of us and why we don't have more transparency in government. Also coming up, a conversation with Candy Stroud, who, from a Democratic strategist point of view, talks about the Republican Party and how it's being viewed in Washington in the race against Barack Obama. And also, very excited about this, at the tail end of the show, Made in America, our special segment, we're going to introduce you to a special woman who has made this a mission to try to find everything she can and put it in her store that's made in America in Illinois. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Mike Pence with Midas Resources Incorporated, Senior Monetary Specialist. With foreign countries going bankrupt and states within the United States going bankrupt, not to mention all the Ponzi schemes in the marketplace, do you think your money and investments are safe? Of course not. Call me, Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. I can help answer any questions you have about protecting your money, whether it be personal possession or holding precious metals in an IRA. Gold carries a 6,000-year history. It is the only real and lasting money in the world. Paper currencies have come and gone. Governments have toppled. The world map has changed many times, and yet gold still thrives in almost every country. Gold is the ultimate store of wealth. Central banks continue to maintain reserves of gold. Common sense begs the question, why? Let me help you answer that question. Call me, Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181. Call now, and I will send you free information on precious metals. Call Mike Pence, 1-800-686-2237, extension 181.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. David Epstein joins us now. David is the executive director for Cause of Action. So you know what the group is. They're a nonpartisan org that basically, and I'll let him tell it in his own words, but basically they use, legal reform measures to ensure, I guess, greater transparency. Boy, wouldn't that be a novel thing in government? We thought we were getting transparency to protect you and me. Yeah, the taxpayers, our interests, and then to keep on rolling that ball down the hill in the name of freedom, economic variety. So, Dan, thanks so much for coming on ATN. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk about this before we get into something that we can really dig our teeth into that you're working on. But with Cause of Action, and you heard me give the loose description of it, but the transparency in government, sorry, I'm just going to editorialize. I think we have very little transparency. Obviously, your group is chipping away at that, and that must be part of the reason for the formation, because you see that there's a need here. If you were to give me a number on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most transparent, how transparent overall, and we're generalizing, would you say government is?
And I'm thinking, I'm being ambitious here, but I'd give it a 2.
Yep.
It really should be a 1. The only reason it gets a 2 is because, you know, the president at least talks the talk. And I think actually Congress has done a lot to ensure some greater transparency. But, I mean, this administration has largely failed as a matter of transparency.
Yeah, somebody told me once that, you know, it's interesting when somebody comes into the 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, the people around them announce usually, hey, this is what you can expect from us. And that was the one thing that was really pushed on the campaign trail. And listen, they got to, even in private, they have to know that that pretty much everything that's rolled out, it's like a tug of war. Even the most liberal media members I know say, oh, are you kidding? We can't get anything out of this White House. Half the time they tell us when there's going to be a press conference, and then they change it just on a whim, and you don't know, you know, zig and zag. You have no idea even from that perspective what's going on. But you're not surprised because you've watched this happen.
We've watched this happen, and we've experienced this. Cause of Action largely does a lot of Freedom of Information Act requests, and we have submitted FOIAs to various agencies to which the vast majority have not been responded to.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you're submitting Freedom of Information, and certainly we the rest of us as journalists know about that. What was the biggest door you had slammed in your face?
You know, a large part of it was that they didn't consider us an organization that was going to use the information for the media and to distribute to the public, even though we're organized as a tax-exempt nonprofit for that purpose. And in addition to that, a lot of the time the agencies would say, you're asking for information that's going to take too much of our resources to produce. In essence, you're asking us to do our jobs too much. And, you know, we've realized just through this experience, and I was a counsel on the House Oversight Committee before I helped launch Cause of Action. But, you know, a large part of what the agencies have said is that it's not our job to be transparent and to be responsive to an accountable notion of government. It's our job to kind of sit and submit budget requests each year to ensure that we can keep doing what we're doing, which is a lot of nothing or a lot of bad things, as we could see with this Department of Energy rule.
Yeah. And does it seem like it's gotten worse? Because, you know, the outcry, I guess, from the public, I think, Dan, that the public is becoming more educated. It's like the sleeping giant has really awakened. You can hear it on talk radio, and you can certainly see it by some of the protests that we've seen and some of the groups that are really organizing. In my lifetime, this is, I think, the most aware nation as far as what's going on politically and what's happening in Washington that I've ever seen. Do you think so?
You know, and maybe it's just because I've been in Washington for too long, but I do think so. And I think the other thing is that the American people are starting to realize that, and especially with this administration, where the idea of big government has kind of become an inside joke, because it's clear that this government has aggrandized itself and has expanded. But I think everyday Americans are starting to realize that this administration and this government in particular are passing rules at a light speed pace that's actually starting to affect everyday Americans on a daily basis. We have 8.5% unemployment in this country right now. And I think the American people are starting to realize that Washington's to blame for a lot of this. And we have, you know, a president that has spent more money in grant dollars to groups like Acorn than through federal contracts. And at least with federal contracts, I think most Americans can pretty much understand, hey, you know, it makes a little bit of sense that our troops out in Iraq need taxpayer dollars to pay for those guns, to pay for them to defend themselves. But when it comes to giving grants to groups like Acorn, the American people just don't understand, you know, why is that money going to them? And furthermore, that there's no accountable process for which, you know, the American people can check the president to say, hey, we don't want you spending our tax dollars this way. And I think America is not only getting more informed, but they're getting angry at the way that Washington's working. And I definitely agree with you, Kate, that America as a country is getting more responsive and is asking for a more accountable government. And that's why groups like Cause of Action have started, why attorneys like me have left their jobs to join groups like Cause of Action to really fight for a more accountable government, because we think that, you know, America is angry and that America deserves more.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right, let's talk about this one. This is a real sticky point. Department of Energy flat out ignoring some procedures for this new energy efficiency standards that were set, right? And you filed a motion to jump in here, or intervene is a better word, in a case against the Department of Energy, and it involves the heating and AC distributors. So tell us more specifics about that.
So we're representing our client, the Heating, Air Conditioning, and Refrigeration Distributors International, in a challenge to the Department of Energy's rule, which in the most simple of terms is basically a rule that's going to increase costs on both consumers, and it's going to kill jobs in the heating and air conditioning realm. And the way that the Department of Energy has decided to do this is to issue what's called a direct final rule, which essentially says that we don't think this rule is controversial. We don't think that, even though the facts indicate that consumers don't like this and that it's going to kill jobs, we think this is the right decision. We're going to ignore the adverse comments, and we're going to just move forward with this rule. We're going to strong arm this rule through. And that's why Cause of Action has filed to intervene on behalf of its client, Hardy, to basically force the Department of Energy to roll back this rule and go back to the drawing board, where it actually is forced to listen to the consumers and the small businesses that have said, this rule has got to go.
Yeah, you know, it's what the new rule is, or when it kicks in, because it's supposed to go into effect in May of 2013. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dan, but it's that it's kind of a one size fits all. So I might be in Dallas, Texas, or Miami, but certainly we have different needs than they do in Minneapolis or Chicago. And so these standards really will certainly just crush some of these jobs. They have to.
Yeah. No, and these are efficiency standards, and what the Department of Energy has said for the most part is that it wants all of these old air conditioners and furnaces and heating appliances that don't meet that 90% efficiency range, those have got to go. And so in places like Dallas, Texas, where obviously someone in Dallas, Texas in June is going to be using his or her air conditioner a lot more than someone in Maine is going to be using. And so those Dallas folks have to pay now an extra $600 for an air conditioning unit that's going to comply with this Department of Energy rule. And in the same light, the people in Maine who during the winter are going to be using a lot more heat than people in Arizona might be, they're going to have to pay up to $1,100 per heating unit. And so it's clear that consumers are just going to have to absorb a lot more of the costs of these new rules.
And the group that would really probably kill is a lot of the older people, right?
Oh, that's definitely true. You know, a lot of the elderly are retired and therefore dependent on fixed incomes. And so the fact that they have to pay more per unit and that they're going to have to pay more in their monthly bills is really going to eat away at what they use to basically survive day to day. And, you know, it's for a unit or a change in technology that really is only to benefit the green energy lobby and clearly is going to harm those small businesses and those consumers who are dependent on current technology.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see where all this goes. Dan, keep us posted on it. Dan Epstein, thanks so much. Cause of Action, we'll keep up with this because it affects certainly a lot of our listeners. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-4444. 3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details and your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies all over the country that I'm so fond of. I'm fond of our next guest as well. We have her in our virtual green room. I hope that she's enjoying that expensive latte that we got for her. She's probably putting it down right now. This woman has a resume that would take us an entire hour to go through. But in a nutshell, her name's Candy Stroud. She's a communications strategist and a political consultant. She's worked on all kinds of campaigns, worked down the line with so many different people. For example, she served for 9 years as the National Radio Communications Director for the Democratic National Committee. I bet she's got some stories. And before all this communications stuff, she was on the journalistic side of it. She wrote for the New York Times, the New York Times Magazine. She was a national correspondent for Women's Wear Daily, just all kinds of stuff. This woman's background is just incredible. She's a powerhouse, a force out of D.C. Hey, Candy, thanks so much for popping on ATN.
Hey, Kate, you're the force. You're a force of nature. Good to be with you.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Hey, watching what you're seeing happen with the Republicans, like now we got this primary in Florida, is it mind-boggling? Is this the nastiest you've seen it from the other side looking at this, the way Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich are going after each other? Or no, this is just politics these days?
Yeah, it's pretty nasty. It's pretty nasty. I think, well, Newt gets the, you know, has a reputation as, you know, nasty Newt. But I just think that all these primaries and all these debates, the debates mainly, I think are what we're seeing is the Republicans are just, you know, it's a circular firing squad and everybody's so bloodied. And I even think that, you know, it's anybody but Romney. They want anybody but Romney, and the Republicans are just not satisfied with him. And I think it's going to be hard to see the Republicans rally around him in the long run. I'm even hearing continuously about a brokered convention, but I've never seen in my lifetime, but, you know, nothing would surprise me.
Wow. If it, like you said, you've never seen that all the years of covering politics, being involved in politics. What would a brokered convention be like for the Republicans?
Well, it might be their way to pull, Chris Christie out of a hat. It might be their way to pull a complete unknown out of a hat. Maybe they want Jeb Bush to pull it out of a hat. But it's rare that you see a party quite as unhappy with their front guy. You know, Romney, he just doesn't sell. There's something about him. He just doesn't sell. So if it goes down to the convention, then they start, you know, it would be a lot of fun to cover that one because they, you know, the smoke-filled rooms would be back.
I love that, smoke-filled rooms. Oh, but you know what? And if for the Democrats, if I'm David Axelrod, I say this all the time on the show, or Robert Gibbs, because they're the two brains behind
They put up the victory flag already. I think they're popping champagne corks over there.
They're doing laps saying this is just inevitable. Come on. This is crazy, man.
And
craziness.
Keep it up, Newt. Keep it up, Mitt.
Yeah. In years of putting together things for the DNC and all that kind of stuff, you have to have some great stories, I bet. You know, you worked with some of the biggest people in politics, current people, and if we go back into our past history, what was the first campaign you ever got involved with in some way?
You really want me to date myself?
Well, I know you were five when you did it, but.
Honest to God, Goldwater.
Wow.
I like Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton and I both started off as Goldwater girls. I worked in the campaign. I mean, I think I was in high school, but, nonetheless, and then, of course, I saw the light and immediately became a Democrat after that campaign. I've been involved either as a reporter, I guess that was 64, 68. I covered the presidential campaign of 68, 72, 76. I wrote a book, a best-selling book on the Carter campaign.
Yeah.
76, 80. I was diplomatic correspondent for CNN, so I was at the State Department then, so I didn't so much as cover the election. And then 84, I was, was I a reporter then? I can't even remember. I think I was a radio reporter then. And then 92, I worked in the Clinton-Gore campaign. 96, worked in the Clinton-Gore campaign. Then I went to the DNC. So I've been, you know, then all those campaigns, 92, 96, 2000, 2004, and then 2008, I did the Obama radio row at the convention.
Yeah.
Which I also did for the Democratic Party in 2000 and 2004. So I've been rolling around these campaigns for a long, long, long time. And, but the most, I think the most startling to me was, 2000 when the, Supreme Court, basically selected George Bush. And that to me, was quite, just astonishing. I've never seen anything like that before, you know, whereas that was like a blow to the heart of the democracy here.
Because of course there's been so much written about it and we all lived through that and whatnot. And it's interesting. And there was so much on both sides of that from the Republicans, obviously, and their victory ultimately, like you said, the Supreme Court. But from Al Gore's point of view and being there in that campaign, how deflated was everybody after that?
It was for me so demoralizing because, I mean, I always thought that the Supreme Court was sort of the untouchable institution. That was the one place you could count on to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, and then to just basically select the President of the United States. And I guess the main thing that to me was the most bothersome thing was that they stopped counting, you know. That was shocking too. How does that happen in the United States of America? You don't stop the counting. It's a democracy. How do you stop counting votes? Got to be kidding. But they did it. So, And of course now we've got the, it'll be interesting to see what the Supreme Court does. If they want to, reclaim their, reputation with the, 3 days of oral arguments on the, Affordable Care Act, which I think you'll maybe coming to Washington for, how they rule on the president's landmark legislation, which I think they'll finally rule on in July, will be interesting. I'm hearing that they may punt it, and not rule on it and say, you know, it's too soon because thing doesn't really kick into effect until 2014. So they may punt it, you know,
That's the thing that everybody does now. If you got a hot potato, even if you're a Supreme Court justice, hey, collectively punt it down the road until it kicks in. That's interesting.
Rather than come across as a politicized Supreme Court, which, you know, because it is a politicized Supreme Court.
Right, but that way just push it off. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that this election, given the fact, my friends in the White House, I remember calling the White House the day Osama bin Laden was taken down, and I said, I think you just won the election over there, you know. That's just one piece of the puzzle. But, you know, Obama's looking pretty good. I think, you know, he's an incumbent. Incumbents usually win. The economy's starting to tick up a bit. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, normally, you know, the guy who goes through all of the primaries is the one who ends up at the convention. But this is a very unusual time we're living through, you know. The whole world is so unstable right now, Kate. I think more so than we've ever seen in our lifetimes, yours or mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely.
So I think, you know, all I can say for this election is prepare for the unexpected.
Yeah, and I like it, just like you said, with the incumbent. I say that all the time on this show, you know, because I say callers of all stripes, let's have a conversation like people used to have. And, you know, lots of people call with lots of different political opinions. And the one thing that I think sometimes is getting overlooked is it's really tough to beat an incumbent no matter what. You know, look at, we've just had two presidents that had two terms.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Clinton got, well, of course, you had an improving economy in that case.
Yeah.
You know, we were coming out of the recession. And this time, I suppose, you know, we'll see what happens or where the economy is. I think that we've seen a little bit of an uptick, stock market's up. You know, they may do something in the Congress to, you know, show that they're doing something to improve the economy, whether or not it's slamming Wall Street, you know, or it was slamming the members of Congress. So what do they call it? The Stock Act, so that they can't do insider trading in the Congress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, imagine that. Gee, you can't trade on the knowledge that you've had all this time. How long have they been doing that, Candy? I mean, come on. We know that's been happening for a long time.
Well, it only makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, you bring all the oil executives up and they sit and, you know, I'm sure they get a lot of insider information because these guys say, hey, I'll give you a tip if you don't subpoena, you know, my vice president. I'm sure they get a lot of stuff that way, but I don't know, I'm just guessing. But I think, you know, it's a very unusual time. We're seeing the fall of dictators all over the Middle East.
Yeah.
We're seeing it. Our number one trading partner, Europe, you know, 25% of our exports go to Europe, where our banks are inextricably intertwined. You have Europe sneezes and we're going to catch a real bad cold here, maybe the flu. We're just waiting to see how that unravels. You might have a very, very different picture of what's going on in the world by, the summer. And that will, you know, largely
affect the election.
As things stand now, looking at my crystal ball from covering all these elections, I would say it's Obama's to lose. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
I like that. It's his to lose, and you gave us plenty of reasons why, for sure. Candy Stroud, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
It's a pleasure, Kate. Thanks so much.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
When's the last time you had a chance to buy a ticket to paradise? Listen up for a truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Imagine the ultimate bug-out safe home, surrounded by incredible lush, fertile land, filled with fruit trees, coffee farm, fresh air, wildlife, and gorgeous views of the Pacific Coast. And you could win it for only $200. Yes, a Costa Rican family of four is raffling off their $400,000 home for only $200 per ticket. The winner scores a 2,000-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath house, two-car garage with bodega, guest house, nearly 3 acres of fertile coffee farmland, and a 1978 diesel Toyota Land Cruiser. All for only $200 per raffle ticket. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Hurry, raffle ends April 30th, 2012. For complete details, visit CostaRicaRaffle.com. That's CostaRicaRaffle.com. Get your ticket to paradise today at CostaRicaRaffle.com.
By now, all of you have taken my challenge, but if you happen to be listening to me for the first time here on America Tonight, I just want you to go around your house, take even 10 minutes, everybody can spare 10 minutes, and start to flip over things. I'm saying dish towels, maybe some of it is your china, look at your clothing, go into your closet, and just start to look at the tags a little bit closer. How much of what you're buying, what's the percentage in your house of stuff that is made someplace else, particularly China, but not just China, but it seems like so much is made in China. So we've been pushing this whole Made in America thing and really waving the flag, so to speak, for people who sometimes at their own economic peril in a way, where they could be making more money, are really striving to just do the Made in America thing. We've introduced you to some wonderful people. We're going to introduce you to another one. Her name's Deborah Leidig, and she's got a company called Norton's USA, and we're talking Made in America products. Besides that, she's got a blog called Bring One Home. Deborah, thanks for popping on ATN.
Oh, you're very welcome. Glad to be here.
We want to say that you're out of Barrington, Illinois. And tell us, first of all, let's wind the clock back. What led you on this path of, okay, I'm going to do this blog. I'm doing this Made in America thing. What started that for you?
Well, what started for me is actually I'm an actress.
Uh-huh.
And I had the good fortune to play Barbara Ehrenreich in the adaptation of her book, Nickel and Dimed, at Steppenwolf Theater here in Chicago.
Mm.
And researching that play, I always was a designer. I went to the Art Institute of Chicago, was a fashion designer. Lots were made in America at that time. I hadn't realized how much had gone offshore until I started researching that play. And then I realized this race to the bottom with wages being depressed and everybody having to have two and three jobs to make ends meet. And it was because everything was being offshored. And I was just getting in a really bad mood. And my husband said, enough of this. Do something positive. So I started researching about 9 years ago products, consumer goods, basically, that were still made in America. And 5 years ago, I bought a building and decided to open this store.
Wow.
And I've worked 7 days a week practically since then, because it's an amazing journey of research and just running a shop and being a part of a community and realizing, you know, this is what we've lost. And once you realize this, you start coming back and why you need a town and why you need sales tax and why your neighbors want to come in your store and help you, and they make sure that you're doing all right. And it's just an amazing thing.
And so in all this research, as you said, it was so eye-opening to you what you saw. And as I described in the beginning, I'm asking people to take that challenge, because it was eye-opening for me just in my own home to not really realize, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. And, you know, what was the most surprising thing? Was there one surprising thing that you came across that you said, oh, this is unbelievable? American flags made in China.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I buy these American flag pins from this gentleman, and he actually found me. And he can tell by what everyone's wearing on their lapels that most of them are Chinese made American flags during this election, which is kind of funny. But it was frustrating that we lost all the garment industry, basically. We've lost all the towels and sheets. We've lost all the appliances, you know, coffee pots, toasters, waffle irons. We've just lost so many things and that's why when you brought up my Bring One Home, it's daunting to think about these companies bringing products back. But I thought, if you bring one home at a time, you'll see how many consumers want your American-made toaster, because they're just tired of buying the stuff that's so bad and it doesn't last long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's it. It's about the quality, too. That's the thing.
It's quality, and I cannot find a dish towel made in America. You know, I can't.
Yeah.
People contact me, but then it's a towel from Turkey that they've printed on or they've monogrammed on. But I said, no, the towel's not made here. You know, so we take it all the way back as far as we possibly can. If I get box cards, if the cards are printed here but the box is printed in China, I don't take the product.
Wow, good for you. I mean,
thanks.
So you're really walking that line for sure. And you, to your store, you sell all kinds of things, from cleaning products to housewares, like you were talking about, like an iron, whatever. I mean, you just run the gamut. You're one-stop shopping. Was that the idea?
Well, it almost had to be, because we don't make enough of one product to have a store of shoes, you know, or a store of cards. You had to have a general store so that you could fill the store with enough product to interest people. And so then I said, you know, I'm going to try to copy Walmart and carry everything that they have in all their departments, but all American made, obviously on a smaller scale. But who knows? I'd love to really give them some competition.
What's the reaction? Because as you said about the storefront, first of all, what's the reaction in your own little town, in your own area? A lot of people coming in, they found you over the years.
Yeah. We still do most of our business in the store. We only have been on the web selling for a year and a half, and the store has been open 4.5 years. Our little brick and mortar is in an old barn. It's perfect. We're off the beaten path, so we still have people who live 4 or 5 blocks away who are coming in for the first time. But I never thought it was going to be like this, where I have town fathers, the mayor, people like that come in and thank me for opening the store. Thank me for just being a part of the town and trying to get some life back into it. It's amazing.
Boy, no kidding. And now that you're out there on the worldwide frontier called the Internet, the Wild Wild West, I bet you're getting reaction from that as well. Are you getting people? Because you got the blog, so I can imagine people are picking it up.
There's a lot of people in New York and California that are ordering. We've shipped overseas. And people are taking notice. I have to say, Diane Sawyer's show, you know, her evening news, she's brought this to light a lot as well. So people are really looking for Made in America. People don't come in my store really because it's just a cute little store. They make it a destination. And it was very obvious in the holidays that people were having American-made Christmas, or they were having an American-made grab bag. People would come in and say, oh, my gosh, I'm so happy my wife has been buying only used clothes because she only wore Made in America. And now I can get her a new outfit.
I love that.
Yeah, it's been great.
So the whole idea is, like you said, is to have American-made things. You kind of in your mind said, I'm going to be the anti-Walmart and see all the things that they have in there. So do you spend part of your time, you're looking for new things, I can imagine, because...
Yes, I'm always looking for new things. Now I have a lot in my store. We have over 380 vendors we buy from and probably over 1,700, 1,800 products. But now I can pigeonhole, you know, certain areas where I'm lacking. Like I'm working on my tool area now in my men's clothing and men's section. And so that way I can really try to up those.
Yeah, good for you.
The web gives me more opportunity to have more items than the store because it's a finite space, the store.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, makes it a little more difficult. Just where am I going to put everything? And then when you have that many vendors, obviously you have to have a lot of stock from each vendor. So our storeroom luckily is big, so we can store a lot. But the one thing that I think you'll appreciate this, is the kids love my store, especially the middle school children. They have never seen a store like this. And they'll come in, and then they'll go home, and they'll go to their mothers and say, Mother, I don't have one thing in my room that's made in America. And so the young people are really picking up on it and really trying to do something about it. And they'll come in here and shop for their parents. They'll shop for their friends. And they really enjoy it, and it's also a hometown store where they can get on their bikes and come here and buy ice cream. So I really wanted to do that because we all remember that first store we could go to by ourselves.
I love it. And bring one home. What a great tagline. That is obviously connected to the whole thing, the task of doing this, just one little thing. Is that the idea, start one little thing at a time?
Yeah, bring one thing home at a time. Bring it back. You'll see it will sell. Even if it's a little bit more money, people will buy it.
Yeah.
Because they want to. They want to support. We've lost that whole section because not everybody can be a lawyer or a doctor or a service person. I love to make things with my hands. People love to make things. They like to design it and make it and see a finished product. And that's a huge percent of people in this country, I believe. And that's why there's so many out of work because that's their calling.
And do you think when you're doing stuff like this, though, that also encourages, because you're obviously helping vendors. You said 380 vendors. So some of them, I would imagine, are big and small and medium, and they're
all
getting
over
play.
The place. And it is. And see, that's why it's so satisfying, because you know, and we tell people the story of every company when they come in shopping. We can tell them about this company and that company. And we say, you've helped that company keep their doors open and their people employed. So you have this satisfaction that you know you're really doing good.
Yeah. Yeah, good for you. Deborah Leidig,
you.
Made in America. It's just terrific. We're going to send everybody to your website. Go to NortonsUSA.com. So easy to remember. I'm going to keep looking for that dish towel for you.
Oh, please. And sheets, too.
All right, we're looking for sheets and dish towels. Deborah, thanks for coming on America tonight.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
You too.